area is, and here's about what the dry land area is. And so, you know, on this one, you know, you have about 23 acres that are underwater. You have an acre that's up along the road that's a sliver that's out of the floodplain, and then the balance of 16 and a half acres is kind of floodplain ground. And so we just kind of went through and, you know, made some high-level calculations based on those different land areas and where we would be, where we'd be coming in on a property of that type. And there's several of these properties that are, you know, you got a little bit that maybe is high enough elevation that's out of the floodplain, but then, you know, most of it's in the floodplain, then you have some that's in the water. So they're, you know, some of these properties are, you know.
How many, if you know, how many of these 139 are completely out of the floodplain?
Other than the one that's in Branson, where you have the office building.
Yeah, Jennifer put up the beacon map. They pretty much Empire would all Electric. Be. It'll show you the whole county.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much all in. There's some that are. There's one example in here that it's not a very big parcel. It's a 3.8 acre parcel, and there's 3 acres of it that are out of the floodplain. But it's a bluff side. I mean, it's so it goes up from.
That's
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Just hit map.
Yeah. There's several scattered though that are smaller.
Yeah, I think there's some substations and stuff that are away from, and those would probably be out. But the
if we're gonna do a spreadsheet like this, we could have a column for in plug, you know, so we could.
Right. And I tried to make notes
that's,
on.
That's kind of what. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's helpful to us. I mean, if we're trying to establish something consistently.
But I think the answer is the vast majority.
Yeah.
Okay.
This Empire Park parcel, the one we're talking about here, one of the things that I thought was interesting was when we haven't had a chance to look at all the parcels yet with our own eyes, but we've tried to drive around and see some of the parcels. And when you go down to the Empire Park, which is done in cooperation with the Missouri Department of Conservation. They have a big sign down there, and I just wanted to show you the picture because I thought it was really relevant to this. Is they have a thing on the sign. If you mind if I
show you. Sure.
They have a thing on the sign, and it goes to one of your questions about the FERC order. And I hate to circle back to the FERC because we, at a high level, we weren't really looking at the FERC was something that was just brought to our attention somewhat recently. But so it talks about the project lands and how all of them are, you know, for public use and enjoyment. And I think you asked about that, if all the project lands were available to public use. And as part of the FERC thing, that's in reading through the FERC order, and I just thought that was relevant when we were looking and trying to see the impact of what you can do with these properties.
And Matt, it's your position that every piece of property, no matter where located, is guided by FERC? I mean, is that correct?
If it's in the project boundary, I think, yeah. And we can.
Is there anything out of the project boundary that Empire has?
Is there like that would be the substations, the office downtown, those properties, yes.
Okay, is the office downtown under appeal?
I don't know what they have in there.
Probably the substations are. I'm assuming they're probably part of it. Yes.
I was going to tell you two things. Some of the substations would say state assessed, like they sent their own people down to assess.
Okay.
And so that's a question. And then the other thing to let you know, when I was revaluing these, I used pictometry, and I turned the floodplain on, and I was doing measurements for the water, doing where it was dry,
what we were doing is trying to look at and see, because, you know, the one thing, and I know this is a, you know, difficult process, especially when you have, you know, we're just talking about 139, you have thousands of parcels, we're able to, and we're just starting to do this, put them all under the microscope, so we know this huge task to look at all these parcels. But so that was the Empire Park piece. The next parcel is the one that ends in 22000. This was the one I just mentioned. This is a bluff, and we went and looked at it. And this is over by the power site dam there. It's on the far side across from it's on the opposite side of the shore from the park. And this one is it's got a little bit of floodplain, but then you have a bluff side. And
you'd be amazed at what people build on.
We've seen some of that where it scares me where you have these built way over off the bluff. I've just put a topo map in there just so you could see the steep contour change. But on this one was in at $87,121 an acre for the 23 assessment. And we were just breaking it down, just on a preliminary basis. So a little bit on that parcel. The next parcel 13000. It's another water parcel, but this one is downstream a little bit. There are a few parcels down by the Branson Landing we talked about. One's North Park.
And actually, you'll see that the pictures you brought that I gave that floods too.
Yeah. This is another water parcel. And as we go through, and we haven't been able to identify all the water parcels, but this was one, and this one was in it. The assessed value was at $12,379 an acre. The next parcel 33.
Just so the board sees on each of these, Mr. Dine's got like a preliminary evaluation. I'm not sure if you're on. And you had put this one just preliminarily. You were just using the assessor $500 per.
Correct, because it was water. We haven't, like I said.
Which we think is probably too high anyway, but nonetheless, that's just using what we've understood the assessor is trying to value the water acres at. And this is just demonstrating that this is higher than what her value.
In other words, the card you received had a much higher value.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much higher.
This next parcel 33000. This is a combination. It's all floodplain and water, but part of it, or the majority of the floodplain ground, is pasture. And this is one they have a lease with an adjoining property owner for grazing rights on this parcel. But I think the assessed value on this one was $40,797 an acre. And so there's about 47 and a half acres of floodplain and 19 acres of water on that parcel.
And if I could just on this particular one, we've talked a little bit about the classification issue. This is classified as commercial. And if you look at it just around, I mean, it's got lake on one side, and the other side, it's next to, there's a grazing or a pasture license or lease on there as well. So this would be one where we would say this should be agricultural, in addition to the fact that its value, there's no way, the valuation on this parcel was $2.7 million. And it's underwater. Mostly.
On this part about being commercial, I get audited every month by the State Tax Commission, and we have local guidance. And so when it came to Liberty, because you're using it for productivity, I was guided to do all commercial for your property because you are using this for generating electricity or to make money, and so it's commercial.
Well, we disagree with that. This is not being used for anything.
I'm just telling you my thinking.
You have a lease to somebody though
for ag.
Yes, yeah. We're hate to say this again, but for it's not a long-term lease on any of these. It's trying to maintain all the shoreline and everything else. We do something like this, we're allowed, we can do a one-year lease with 2 one-year extensions, and then it gets reevaluated. Any long-term leases goes to Washington, has to be approved by the commission. And the only ones of those that we do have would be the campground, Ransom Landing, and Missouri Department Complex.
And again, you're talking about FERC allows you 2 one-year leases?
Without going to FERC.
We can do that locally, yes. It's a one-year lease with 2 one-year extensions, just a very short term. And that helps offset that little bit there, helps us having to maintain it.
And on the classification issue, you look at, it's classified as commercial, there's no access here. There's not even a road to the parcel, I don't think. There'll be a little bit of a path. So, just pointing that out.
Okay.
Well, if they're,
it's the same thing as Mrs.
Moore. If they're baling hay or something on it, they have to have access.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's through an adjoining property. Yeah.
Grazing land, so they got to get their cattle in and out.
Yeah.
The adjoining
land. And so the gentleman who's got the lease on this one, is the parcel kind of on the top left corner just below those icons. He's the one who has the lease. If you're following the handout, and so. He's got some way to get down to the property, but.
And we can confirm it, but I think the annual lease amount, that's a couple hundred bucks a year. $3,000.
I thought it was $300.
That's a sales tax for the city of Ransom.
It's nominal. It's, yeah.
Okay.
$400.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You get the point.
Sure.
The next one, 98000, this is a floodplain track down by Lakeshore Drive, and Jeff, when we talk about some uses here, this is entirely in the floodplain, and there's some pictures of the recent flooding that they talked about in 2017, some of the street signs down where that property is. There's some, adjoining property owners that have improved properties there that all flooded substantially. And I don't think, even if you were allowed to do residential development, which I think the FERC order pretty much prevents, I'm not sure FEMA or anybody else would let you build there in the floodplain, especially due to the severity of the floods.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Now, you're aware that in this area there was a lawsuit, or there might still be one going on, where the question is about the people that have built in that floodplain, owning the property. They're in contention with Liberty. Are you leasing that property back to them where they're sitting?
I can speak to that. Yes, there is. It's been years-long litigation. We've won 3 cases. We just appealed another one. So far, we've prevailed. That is in an area that it goes back to a 1912 deed, the original Ozark Power and Water. And it went up to a certain boundary line, 715 elevation level. Over the years, it got subdivided from the lakeshore all the way up. And when these developments happened, what happened was, Empire, there wasn't a big FERC push or anything. Empire was Empire. We operated the dam. That was it. There was a plat map with Taney County. It showed these lots, and they were for sale. But the title companies only go back 50 years. So when all these were purchased and the development was going on, everybody thought everything was kosher because they never picked up our ownership. And that's then the flood started to come, and we did have a survey done by James Jasper here in town, HCW, I think it's HDR. And we found that 715 boundary that matched that deep.